like talent, you are in the right place. Welcome back to the Talent Factor Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, also known as Full-Time Dame, with my boy, my brother, Keith Sanchez. Keith, what's up, baby?
Mic check. My mic is hot. Matter of fact, my mic is on fire, DP. It's college football week one. We are in the midst of it. We have, what, two more games left. One tonight because we're actually recording on Sunday morning. That's how quick we wanted to get the content out to you guys. So we have LSU, Florida State this evening, and then we have Clemson, Georgia Tech tomorrow. But like I said, man, my mic is hot. I have some things I have to get off my chest, DP. Some people that made me angry in the Twitter sphere. But I'm going to go ahead and kick it back to you so you can, show the people about our ad read, man. Talk to them.
Man, I mean, you know, before we really get into, because I'm interested to hear who got my guy riled up. Let's give a quick shout out to our other guys, our partners over at BetOnline, as they are the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV 50 to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. So Keith, let's kick it off with top of the line, baby. You talk about the top takeaways, the top headlines from week one, from Saturday, well, not even just Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday's action. Let's go ahead and get started, man. Like, what was one of your top takeaways? And who got you riled up, man?
Yeah, let's start there, man, because I have to get this off my chest. So obviously we know the Georgia-Oregon game was yesterday, and it didn't go good. It didn't go good at all. I tweeted out that, hey, this looks like a typical SEC versus Pac-12 matchup. And obviously, you know, you tweet something out, people are going to respond. So one of the responses I got was that, the SEC is not that good. It's really just Alabama and Georgia holding up the SEC. And I say, well, duh, right? And this is the issue, right? At the end of the day, if you take Jordan and Pippen off of the Bulls, they aren't the Bulls anymore, right? You take LeBron and D. Wade off of the Heat, they aren't the Heat anymore. If you take Steph and Klay off of the Warriors, it's not the Warriors anymore.
It's so just Draymond.
You take the two most legendary situations from any great dynasty, it's not going to be that anymore. So it made no sense to me that somebody would respond in that fashion and say, well, if you take Alabama and Georgia, then you don't have a good conference. Well, that applies to just about everything, right? It made no sense to me. Apply that logic to other situations, and what is the outcome? So I just – that person, I'm not going to mention any Twitter names, but the hate on the SEC – listen, the SEC schedules out of conference games, right? Mm-hmm. Each year they give conferences opportunities to beat them. They say, you know what? We'll play at a neutral site, and we can play the game. And what happens? They lose. They lose, they lose, they lose. So it's not the SEC, folks. We can't get mad with the SEC. The SEC is the better conference, hands down. My rant is done. I just had to get it off my chest, man. You take the two Hall of Fame players off of any team, and you're not going to have the same team. But we can get in top of the line now. I'm good now, DP. I had to get that off my chest.
Hey, man, you know, let it flow, brother. Let it flow. It's all good. I'm all here for you. I get it, right? Like, I know that there's a lot of, you know, I think it's a lot of – we get to the postseason and we typically see two SEC teams, right? We saw Georgia-Bama SEC championship, and then we saw them again in the national championship. And it's like, man. Like, it gets exhausting, right? But at the same time, I mean, hey, the college football committee, they figured a way to fix that, right? We about to have 12 teams in this bad boy. So we're going to see – well, we're going to see. We might have six SEC teams at that point. We'll see how that plays out. But to your point, though, Keith, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the SEC won all of their matchups yesterday, if I remember correctly, or a majority of them. So the SEC is on the winning start to kick off the season. But like I said, top of the line, man, I mean – and then we talk about the SEC. Like, yet, you know, yesterday, week one was chaotic, Keith. Like, There were multiple, like, very close upsets. And even, you know, talk about the Georgia-Oregon game, which we'll get to that in a little bit later. But, you know, that being the blowout. And then you have Alabama-Utah State being the blowout. But then you got UNC going to war, essentially, with App State. You got North Carolina State, like, barely beating Eastern Carolina. And it's only because Eastern Carolina missed a field goal to end the game.
Twice. The kicker got to make that field goal. The kicker has to make that field goal.
You got
to
make the field goal.
You missed it,
man.
The first time. The second time, you have to come through.
So, you know, and we talk about Ohio State. Ohio State versus Notre Dame, one of the more hyped up matchups, you know, for week one, Keith. And it was, how to put this? It wasn't a bad game. It just was really hard to get into. JSN goes down early. You know, he takes a big shot on the sideline. You know, his knee bends in a way that knees aren't supposed to bend, you know, it kind of gave me some worry. Like, man, like, I hope he doesn't have an ACL issue or anything. He does come back in the game later on, but he's limping. He's not 100%. He could barely really, like, be himself. And it's like, he wasn't even good enough to be a decoy. So they pulled him back out, and the young boys had to come up. But, you know, Notre Dame, you know, Marcus Freeman had the defense ready. You know, he had the defense ready, primed and ready to battle, to go to war and fight tooth and nail in a prime time slot, right? Like the bright lights. Offensively, Notre Dame, I believe they only scored 10 points. Offensively, they couldn't get anything going. And shout out to Ohio State's defense, man. They have a lot of four or five star recruits, Keith. Last year, they struggled mightily last year. You know, losses to Oregon and, you know, Michigan. And, like, they really struggled last year. Like, to me, in all three levels of the defense. But this year, it looks like they may be on the upward trend. And if that's the case, and this offense still scores 40-plus, and you got a defense and a defensive line that can get after the quarterback and make them uncomfortable, that's going to be big for their playoff hopes.
Yeah, let's park it with the Notre Dame Ohio State game, because that was the premier game of the weekend. And looking at it, I think the way to describe it was easily unwatchable, right? Like it wasn't crisp, clean football. And let's be honest, you know, from a draft prospect perspective, there were a lot of prospects out there, right? You talk about on Notre Dame's defense, you had Isaiah Foskey, you had Brandon Joseph, which shout out to him because he made that tackle on Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I thought overall he played more like 2020 Brandon Joseph versus 2021 Brandon Joseph. I thought he had a much better showing for his skill set. Then you go to Ohio State and you look at Paris Johnson, and you know, some people are saying that he's supposed to be the number one tackle off the board. Obviously CJ Stroud, then you had Trevion Henderson, JSN went out. But I think looking at the game overall, it operated in spurts, right? Like it seemed as though no team was in a rhythm. They were still trying to find their identity. And talking with CJ Stroud, I know that he said that he was really confident in his ability to step up and lead that team, which I don't think that that's the issue, right? But I think that chemistry seemed to be an issue with Ohio State and their wide receivers, man. That's something different when you have to insert, you know, four new wide receivers and y'all all have to get on the same page. And I think that's why you've seen the inconsistencies, right? Like when CJ Stroud threw that dime to, I can't even remember the receiver's name, but it was for the touchdown. You seen that, okay, they were on time with that one, right? Like that play seemed to go exactly how they practice it. And then after that, there might've been three or four more plays that they were just, you know, a half a second late, or, you know, the wrong block, or, you know, the wide receiver and the quarterback, they read the defensive back's leverage different, right? And that's what really happened with the Ohio State offense to me, because the talent is there. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., he's going to be a straight dude. He should have came up, you know, with the touchdown catch, difficult catch, right? But you can, you see, like, he's different from his father stylistically because he's 6'2", 200 pounds. So you're talking about a true XY receiver, and I think they'll get it done. I don't know what Ohio State's schedule is after this, but I'm assuming it, you know, is obviously going to be easier than Notre Dame. So they'll have a couple games to where they can get get the wrinkles kind of taken out and get it fixed. And then also, let's see what happens with JSN's injury. Hopefully it's, 2 weeks at the most, right? Like just something 2 weeks, a slight sprain in an MCL or something like that, and he can move past it. But I think that was also another thing that bothered CJ Stroud. Like, that was his go-to guy. I think that was a game where JSN makes 7 or 8 key catches, right, just because they have chemistry with each other, him and CJ Stroud, and they won the game. But I thought it was a really good showing by Notre Dame. They just don't have the athletes yet. Like, their best player is Michael Mayer at the end of the day, but they need some wide receivers, and they need a quarterback. Go find a quarterback. Like, I'm tired of the average Notre Dame, kind of mobile, can hit a quick slant sometimes, but they're really smart type of guys. Go find a dude, right? Like, you're Notre Dame. Go find a dude. Go hop in this transfer portal. Marcus Freeman, listen, I think you're going to be a hell of a recruiter. I'm rooting for you. Go find a quarterback at the end of the day. But that was kind of my takeaways from that matchup.
Now, I agree with you. And like you said, the young kid, I think it was Xavier Johnson, I think is his name, stepped up big on that touchdown pass. But like you said, Marvin Harrison Jr. had a tough catch, but a catch that was a pass that was catchable. And like you said, Notre Dame's got some talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We know that they have multiple guys who are on the NFL's radar. But offensively, besides Michael Mayer, you don't know where the explosive plays are going to come from. So that's kind of their problem. And if they can figure that out, I mean, Tyler Buchner was, 10 of 18? Like, they couldn't run the ball? Like he had the most rushing attempts, and, yeah, that's not good. So it's like, he had 11 attempts for 18 yards, man. Like, 1.8 yard per carry. Like, that's really not good at all. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go. But like you said, talking about Ohio State's schedule, Keith, they got Arkansas State next week, a 12 o'clock kickoff, and then they got Toledo. So if it is a situation where you can sit JSN for 2 weeks and let him just rest,
yeah,
those are the two games. Because right after that, they walk right into a matchup, which I don't think the – yeah, against Wisconsin, September 24th.
That's going to be a tough nose, gritty, grinded out type of game.
Exactly, always. Wisconsin always brings the defense. The offense, not so much, but the defense, they always bring. they always, just got to shut down Braylon Allen and you're fine. But the last takeaway we had was the Arkansas-Cincinnati game, which was probably one of the better games in that kind of mid-afternoon slot. Arkansas was able to pull off the win. But Cincinnati made it very, very interesting, Keith. They were able to come out and especially in the second half and the fourth quarter, Ben Bryant, it was his first time starting for the new team, with Cincinnati, which we talked about earlier in the week. And he struggled a little bit out the gate. He struggled. He was airmailing passes, missing wide open routes and throws and receivers. And I would say some of it you can kind of pinpoint and say, I believe that was just the jitters, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to get it out of his system. He's got to shake that off and get through it. Well, he ended up going 26 of 43, 325 and 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. And he looked solid, man. He looked I'm not going to say he looked as good as advertised, but he definitely looked the part, especially when, a guy that was coming in with a lot of hype. And he went, kind of toe-to-toe with K.J. Jefferson, who had himself a good day. But Arkansas, which we talked about, Arkansas was going to be able to run the football, Keith. And Raheem Rocket Sanders, he ran the ball 20 for 117. Keith, they ran the ball 45 times for 224.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They let everybody know week one what you're getting. We're coming in the game. We're going to try to out physically. Our plan is to punch you in the mouth every single play. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do off of it?
Yeah,
like,
what are you going to do
off of it? Can you punch back?
Yep. And so that made me honestly excited because I thought, obviously last year and the year before, I think they were in 2020, I think they were a 3-win or 4-win team. And then last year they made the huge jump to 9 wins. And then coming into this year, you want to see okay, is this a consistent thing, right? Like, it's Arkansas now a key, I would hate to say contender in the SEC West, but you have to play them, right? Like, there's a chance that if you don't play really good football, you can lose to them. And I think Arkansas answered that question yesterday because Cincinnati showed that they're a good football team. And I just like the style of play. Like I said, you know what you're getting. Like they always say, man, the old adage, defense and run game travels. It goes everywhere. And it's something consistent, right? You don't have to worry about timing and everything else. This is your offensive lineman coming off the football, firing off and moving people out the way. You have a physical mentality. And I'll say this, I think KJ Jefferson fits in perfectly with that because he's a big 6'3", 235 pounds, stout, thick lower half, run through you type of quarterback, right? Like, it's, you know, there are different versions of mobile quarterbacks, and he's an enforcer at the quarterback position. So I think that was a good showing for Arkansas for sure, just to kick the season off.
No, for sure, man. I mean, like I said, Raheem Sanders had went 20 for 117, but to your point, KJ Jefferson, 18 carries, 62 rushing yards. He finished the game with 4 total touchdowns, 3 through the air and 1 on the ground, man. He's an all-around weapon for this offense, and he is the straw that stirs that drink, and he's the engine of this offense. So they're going to play a physical brand of football, and in the SEC, that fits the bill, right? That's just what the SEC is, physical, just down, you know, just really rough football, and he's gonna do a good job of that. So I'm keeping my eye on him anyway because I feel like he's a slept on quarterback. You know, when you talk about quarterbacks who are draft eligible and things of that nature, he slept on, man. And so shout out to KJ Jefferson. But Keith, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Here we go. This is what I want to get about. Right here.
No, just like, you know, the old adage, you know, you want the good news and the bad news. So we will start with some good vibes. And Keith, I'm going to kick it off. My guy, Anthony Richardson.
There we go.
Rich, the good of the week, man. And I was up. He had me on my seat, on the edge of my seat last night. Yeah, like, this is a kid, man. Some of the plays, and I think, I don't know if I did it on the pod. No, I did it on, you know, for the film session, 4 Downs film session with our guy, Ray G. Which you can find on a Draft Network YouTube channel. We broke down a couple plays of Anthony Richardson, and I say he reminded me a lot of Cam Newton, but a Cam Newton that is more suited to throw the ball, like, right, like from a mechanic standpoint, accuracy standpoint, he's a little bit ahead of what Cam was, in my opinion, when he was at Auburn. And because this young man really focuses on his mechanics, and he made some throws last night, Keith, like, drilling the ball, 3rd and 15 early in the game. After you driven down, your running back fumbles. You know, Utah takes it back and they get momentum and they score first in your house. Mm-hmm. And he never blinked. He kept coming, kept going right back downfield, orchestrating drives. And yeah, there were some instances where he's got to, hey, take that crosser, bro. That's why we run mesh, because it's an easy read. Take it, give it to your guy, let them make the play. And he missed a couple of those, but then at the same time, he still made plays off. He still made plays with his legs, extending the plays as a runner and with his mobility, and then be able to get some first downs. But man, Keith, the things he was able to do last night, we know he showed the athleticism, the arm talent, and then he's learning on the fly because he only threw the ball 66 times last year. So it's going to be some rough edges. He's got to learn. He's got to get those reps. But man, to knock off the number 7 team in the nation, they come to your house and you protect the swamp. Like, yeah, he didn't throw for 300, but he scored 3 touchdowns.
He was effective.
He was effective in both facets, right? When he needed to throw, he was able to throw. But when they needed his legs, like on that last drive, you know, it's what? I think it's 4th down, 3rd or 4th down.
Yeah, it was.
And he drops back.
It was 4th. That was the game. That would have essentially been the game because the way
he got stopped,
you used that timeout. And obviously Utah was running the football. So that was probably the game right there.
Yeah, 100%. Because they were, you know, both teams were just being physical on offense. And if he gets sacked or he gets tackled for a loss, game's over. Because Utah's going to run Tavion Thomas right up the gut, like they were doing all fourth quarter. But, you know, AR, man, A. Rich really came out and really gave the splash plays and the effective plays and the efficient plays to show that, man, this kid, the sky's the limit for this young man.
Yeah, nah, for sure. He deserves every bit of that. So for my good, man, I went with Georgia's defense. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, they were good last year. But, man, they lost so many people, right? And to come in – and listen, Georgia is at the point right now where they've reached the Alabama and the Ohio State and the Clemson level to where they're just reloading. That's all they're doing at this point, right? Like, it's just next man up. Kirby Smart has done a masterful job in recruiting to where we lose a first rounder. Okay, we have another first rounder behind them. And it was all, and obviously it's the SEC Pac-12, but it was almost like it wasn't college football. Like Oregon was, you know, they were playing at a much slower speed, and Georgia was just that much faster. They were just that much more physical, you know, instincts wise. Like, it just looked like they practiced more, right? Like, this was just something different. And so I definitely, with my good, I wanted to give props to Georgia, because I know for us, and, you know, we have to kind of, you got to admit you're wrong sometimes, right? I thought Oregon had somewhat of a chance, and we picked them as a slight upset. Like, you know, they may squeeze this thing out by 2 points, because I didn't think that Georgia could repeat defensively what they did last year. But man, oh man, that's not the case. Them dudes ready. They were locked and loaded and ready to roll.
Yeah, man, it was just a tremendous, like, showing for a retooled Georgia defense. And I mean, I scouted a lot of these guys. I'm like, man, this is a talented group.
Yeah.
But Keith, they did some stuff yesterday, and I was just like, okay, like, they're nice. They are definitely, they just retool. They don't rebuild. They just reload. Let's kick it off to the bad. And my bad is South Carolina State, and this just really odd fake punt. I was really concerned, because I was confused. You know, I didn't know if he was actually going to run it. So South Carolina State is 4-for-19. They're playing UCF earlier in the week. And, like, legitimately, the punter feels he catches the snap. He does a little, it looks like it's going to be one of those rugby style punts where they get to run a head start.
To the side. Yeah.
Keith, and then he just kept running, Keith. And I didn't know what was happening. And then when he punted it, I thought he was hurdling a teammate. So I was so confused. I had to go back and watch it over and over again, because I was so just flabbergasted at the fact that this was actually called. Like, he waits until he's past the line of scrimmage, and then it's like, oh, I don't have the space to run this. Like, they're gonna, like, my man's gonna take my head off. I gotta get this off my leg. I can't keep running with this ball, because there's a defender coming full speed down the alley at me. And he just panics and kicks it. And I'm just like, guys, just kick it normal, man. Just kick it normal. Just feel the snap and just boom it, baby. Like, there's no need for the run to start. There's no need to be cute and be extra. That was my bad of the week, because that was a really bad play. Like, college football was back at that moment.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on with that play. But I'll tell you this. I thought that he was really close to picking up the first down. Like,
he panicked.
He was almost there.
He panicked.
You almost did it. Like, you almost got to the
I
first
feel like
marker.
If we could have got a clear shot at his face, Keith, we would have seen, like, the joy. Like, man, I'm gonna get this. Then he sees that UCF defender coming over the top, and then his eyes would have got big. He's like, nope, I'm putting it. And it was just bro, you're already past the line of scrimmage, my man. Like, just go with it. Like, just do it.
At this point, you know we need to pick up the yardage and, you know, the
I need you to go full Pat McAfee and just be a dude in that moment. Yeah. You know, just be
but
a dude
he,
in that
he
moment.
He might have been thinking about what Sean Taylor did to that punter in the Pro Bowl. That might be stuck in his brain. But nah, for my bad, Iowa, what are we doing? What are we doing? You won the game 7-3, and we're football people. So that clearly means that you scored one touchdown, right? But no, they didn't. That was not one touchdown. You had two safeties and a field goal. So you did not score a touchdown. This is what my guy DP talks about right here, right? He talks about teams like Iowa, Wisconsin. They have a defense, and there is no representation of offensive football on that side of the Big Ten, right? When we talk about the Iowas, we talk about the Wisconsins, the Nebraskas. Like, what are we doing? So I had to give them the bad. That was bad. You won the game, go in the locker room, celebrate, but I would be at practice right now. We got to find a way to move the football. This is not going to last. This is not it right here. Like, we literally only scored 7 points and we never touched the end zone. That's bad.
Keith, and what made it worse is it was an FCS opponent.
Yeah.
It's an FCS opponent and you are a Power Five team. And I know people will be like, man, DB, that don't – no, it matters, though. Like, you got to go out there. It should matter. So you can go out there and do your job and win this game. Instead, you go out there, you kick a field goal, and you think your defense gets two safeties. And that's how you get seven. Yeah, and I'm just like, how is this okay?
I'll tell you what that was, right? After the game, that was a moral loss. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. you won the game, so you're 1-0, which is, you know, the ultimate thing. But morally, you lost. Like, you lost that game. You're not feeling good about your offense if you're any of those coaches. You're like, yeah, thank God we're 1-0. Like, I've walked in buildings, right, after, you know, when I was at LSU, and we got away with a win, right? But all of them don't feel the same, because some of them you feel like we played really good football. Then some of them you feel like, I'm just happy we got the hell up out of there. And that's how you feel at Iowa. And like you said, that was against an FCS opponent. So, man, they took my bag. They took it, and hopefully they get it figured out next week.
I don't have much faith in that, Keith. I don't have much faith in Iowa's offense at all. So I could have put them at ugly, but I'm going to put somebody else at ugly. And that's the North Carolina Tar Heels defense.
Oh, yeah, flame them up. They
Keith, you – okay, so you're going against App State. Don't get me wrong; they're home. You're coming off a win against FAMU, who FAMU gave you some trouble last week too. That's yeah, an HBCU.
How they say in basketball, FAMU was giving you buckets.
Buckets. they stuck with you for a little bit because the defense was giving up plays until you know the offense really started really rolling and they got a little bit of some distance. But Keith, you had a lead. Your offense, you scored 7, 21, and 13, and that's through the first three quarters. That's 7 in the first, 21 in the second, 13 in the third, right? You allowed App State to put up 40 points in the fourth quarter. Keith, Chase Bryce, the quarterback for App State, who was, if I'm not mistaken, was the quarterback at Clemson at one point.
Yeah, he's at Clemson, yeah.
25 of 36, 361, averaged 10 yards per attempt. He threw 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. They also ran the ball 43 times for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, effectively, North Carolina defense gave up 9 touchdowns to App State's offense. What are we doing here? Like, are you kidding me, North Carolina? Like I said, App State's not a bad team because they got some running backs that I like, and Chase Bryce can sling it, and all that's fine and good. But you are North Carolina. You need to come out here and play good defense. You need to come out here and 40. Like, okay, I understand if you give up 40 points in like just an overall half. Like, they just had two good quarters. No, they just had one good quarter. 40 in one quarter. And then the bad part about it is they went for 2 at one point and they didn't get it. So we thought the game was over. They go and they kick an onside kick. North Carolina recovers it, takes it to the house, and then scores. Okay, so this game is definitely over. You kick it back to App State. They drive right back downfield and score again with seconds left. And still tries to go for the 2. They could have went to overtime with you if they really wanted to, because you allowed them to. North Carolina State, you are my ugly. No, North Carolina defense, sorry. You are my ugly for how you defended, or lack thereof, App State's offense. This was an unreal performance.
Yeah, and so we just gave Iowa. We said that they won, but it was a moral loss. Same thing for yes. North Carolina defense. So just to give the people, the listeners, right? Usually after the game, you know, on Sundays, that's when you do your film breakdowns, right? So you can make your corrections and stuff like that. But sometimes if you have an early game, you know, if you're a GA, an analyst, a coach, you can go ahead and do your game corrections on Saturday, right? And you can get them knocked out. And that way, you know, you can have, you know, a couple hours to yourself Saturday night, right? And go enjoy yourself, things like that, celebrate the win. Those coaches aren't going out. They were in the building all night last night trying to get that figured out. 40 points, DP, 40 points in a game is bad, right? 40 points in a half is horrible. 40 points in a quarter, you almost have to try to let the offense do that. How do you give up 40 points? That's a lot of points. That's a lot of
Keith. I'm not doing that on Madden.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when you, even if you did that on Madden, you press pause and you go check to see what level are you playing on, right? Like, okay, am I on all Madden or is this on rookie? That was bad. That was a bad performance. I'm with you on that. My bad was obviously a equally bad performance by defense. Oregon. I said, man, this is not good. And like I said, we if you listen to Wednesday's episode, we picked Oregon a slight upset. That's so don't think that we're killing Oregon because it's like, oh, you know, Oregon has no chance. And it was fun just to kind of, you know, make them the punching bag of this episode. No, it's we believed in them, right? Like we knew that they had Noah Sewell. We knew that they had Justin Flo. You know, they had some defensive linemen with some promise. But the reason that they got my bad was not just that they lost, right? But my guy, Stetson Bennett, right? He went 25 of 31. That's an 80% completion percentage. 80% of his passes. He threw for 368 yards. He did what he wanted. And that's the problem, right? Like, that's why you get the bad. Like, what were we doing? And this is the next level when you, you know, the layers to the game when you're trying to figure out who's going to win the game. I said, okay, cool. I said, Dan Lanning was at Georgia last year, right? So he's going to know what Georgia's doing. And he's going to be able to stifle that defense. Stetson Bennett is going to have a couple problems. He's going to come up with a good game plan. I was all wrong. I don't know if Dan Lanning overthought things. I don't know if Oregon is just not as good as we thought they were. But it didn't go good. So Oregon defense definitely gets my bad because it that was just not a good performance at all. You can't let Stetson Bennett throw for 370 yards with an 80% completion percentage against you. I'm sorry.
Keith, what pissed me off the most about this is now I got to hear people hype up Stetson Bennett as if he's a real quarterback. And no disrespect to Stetson Bennett, but
did you hear the commentator? The commentator on the TV was like, you know, if anybody speaks bad on Stetson Bennett, they need to get a life. And
bro, Georgia ran this happened multiple times. They ran jet sweep and were gashed by it.
Yes.
Like, bro, like, it didn't matter who it was. Like, whoever came in motion, they got the ball off the jet sweep handoff, they got 10 guaranteed, right? You got Justin Flo, who is uber athletic and physical, just bailing assignments. He's running around, and there's no rhyme or reason to where he's going. Besides, he's just trying to knock somebody out.
That's all his intentions. Because it was like still in the fourth quarter, right? And they were clearly down by like 30 points. And I mean, credit to him, right? Because he's still running out there trying to, you know, high effort. But it was like I think he made like a big tackle on a tight end or something, right? And he getting up and he flexing and yelling. And it's like, man, y'all losing by
30. You are losing on national television by 30 plus points, bro. Like, the celebration's got to stop, my guy. If we hooping on the court and you cross me but your team down 25, I don't care.
Right.
Like, because you about to take this L, man. It was just really bad, bro.
All the receiver did was point to the scoreboard and tell him, hey, look at the scoreboard.
Yeah. Like, bro, look at the score. Like, you are down, like, double-digit points. Like, three dimes, bro. You down three dimes right now. It was bad. Like you said, it was a ton of wide open receivers for Stetson Bennett. He looked high. Like, nope, I'm not throwing that. I'm coming right back down to this 5-yard check down.
Yep.
And it was just like yards after catch. They weren't like, they couldn't tackle Darnell. Don't get me wrong. Darnell Washington is 6'7", 270 pounds. So I don't really blame them truly, but it's more so like the effort for me was in question. It's like you see a DB, a small corner, come up and try to make a solid tackle on Darnell Washington. I'm looking for the rest of the teammates. Where y'all at, man?
Because yeah, y'all supposed to be there.
Bro, everybody needs to be there to bring this big joker down. Instead, he runs to your corner. He keeps trucking upfield, makes a highlight by hurdling one of y'all, and this man's almost 300 pounds. Like, what is happening? Like, it was just It was such a bad, they sold out against the run when you didn't even have to, Keith. You didn't have to. Just play defense. You ain't got to sell out for the run. Force Stetson Bennett to make tight window throws. Nobody rallied to the ball. Nobody had any type of quick trigger. The squeeze that from playing up, they play a lot of zone. Come downhill, make a big hit. Squat on throws. Squat on these short routes. Make Stetson Bennett throw it deep. That's what you want. You want him to throw it down there to your safeties. Instead, Oregon's like, man, we just happy to be here, bro. Like, we on national television. We in Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised if any of those kids was at Magic City. Like, they were just happy to be there. Keith, I'm just really disappointed. But, man, to get away from the bad and the ugly news, Keith, let's give the game ball selection, man. And I'm going to kick it to you. I'm going to let you – because I already talked about him. I'm going to let you talk about him. Go ahead and give you game ball.
No, I mean, it's clear, right? Week one, there are a lot of marquee matchups, but I think the one guy that showed up and he set college football off yesterday, and the guy that, you know, let's give ourselves credit, right? As far as scouting him, we said, watch out for A-Rich, right? Watch out for him. And so my game ball is going to Anthony Richardson. And listen, you look at the stat box and you say, okay, he had a solid game. But that's why you have to watch the games, right? Like, you have to watch the moments. You have to understand each moment. When he did that double spin move, fade away, throw the touchdown, man, that was just a guy making plays at the end of the day, right? And that's the thing. Then you talk about the fourth down, right? When he made that play with his legs, he was cool, calm, and collected. And let's remember this, because people don't understand that was his first ever start. That was his first time starting. He's from Florida. All the pressure is on him. Billy Napier is the new head coach, right? Coming with a whole new coaching staff. The swamp is packed. You're talking 100,000 fans that's excited to see this new era of football under head coach Billy Napier combined with Anthony Richardson, right? He has hype already as far as being one of the dual threat guys, and he showed up. He showed up. Even if they lost that game, right, it would have not been Anthony Richardson's fault. He made every single play that Florida needed him to make, and this is a guy that put the game on his back. So for me, man, he gets my game ball. That, like, and this is what this segment is about, right? Game balls. And it's like, man, you know what? Because you did your thing. You showed up to the game, big time moment, and you made plays. So Anthony Richardson, week one, you get my game ball, baby.
That's my guy, man. And you know, love to see it, love to hear it. My game ball goes to North Carolina Tar Heel quarterback Drake May. Okay. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, like, this young man, he took over the starting job. He won it in camp, Keith, and he hasn't looked back since, right? He was 24 of 35 yesterday for 352 yards, 4 touchdowns. But, Keith, he added on 12 carries for 76 in the touchdown. 5 total touchdowns, over 400 total yards from offense. And as I eloquently talked about why this defense was part of my bad and ugly segment, he's the reason why North Carolina won. Right. Like, if he plays like a guy who's in his second start, if he plays like that and he doesn't have all these yards and touchdowns, if he just has a solid game, Keith, they more than likely get blown out by App State because the defense just couldn't do anything with App State's offense. But this young man took the bull by the horns back-to-back weeks and has delivered. So shout-out to Drake May, man, the legend of Drake May. I've already seen some of the comps, Keith, and they're comparing this kid already to Justin Herbert. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. It's getting crazy out here, man. It's week one. People happy calls football back, so the takes are flying. But this young man has really put his stamp on this team and this offense. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And he deserves this game ball of the week.
Yeah, now he definitely put on a performance, man. And you talk about Justin Herbert. I was thinking about draft too. I had to Google the guy and see if he was a freshman, a redshirt freshman. So for my 2024 mock draft, this guy would definitely be in my top 10. Because that's back-to-back weeks he's slinging it. And it appears to be natural for him, man. He has natural talent. He has natural mobility. So I'm excited about Drake May, you know, moving forward. But, yeah, that's our game balls. That's week one. That's our reaction. I want our fans to understand that, guess what? We're going to do this every Monday. And that way you'll get our live reactions. You'll get immediate reactions because we want to have the conversation with you. So I'm going to let my guy, DP, kick it to him. Let him sign us out, baby.
As always, guys, listen, we're here week one. It's almost over, only two games left, so stay tuned. Of course, follow us on Twitter, DP_NFL, and the talent code for my guy, Keith Sanchez, on Twitter. Follow us, holler at us, say what's up. We definitely will holler back. But as always, we appreciate the love and support. Find us on Spotify, subscribe. Like, share, leave a 5-star review. Same thing for Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting network you use. Listen, I'm Damian Parson. Here's the Talent Factor Football Podcast with my guy, Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
And remember, talent is always the factor.